Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we will meet the president of Planned Parenthood. This year, the reproductive services organization became the target of one of those political undercover stings, like Acorn and NPR and Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker had also been. This one was by members of an anti-abortion group posing as pimps seeking abortions for underage prostitutes. The results of the sting, though scant, helped to set up Republicans in Congress to try to defund Planned Parenthood nationwide as part of the budget negotiations. The effort mostly failed. Remember, federal funds already may not be used to subsidize abortions. Planned Parenthood gets federal funding for its other services for poor women, which include testing for sexually transmitted diseases, treatment and counseling after rape or other sexual abuse, cancer screening and vaccines, and access to birth control. Meanwhile, with the Republican gains at the state level in the last election, new restrictions on abortion are being debated in many capitals. What is Planned Parenthood in 2011? How might the latest political attacks and electoral results change reproductive rights and health in America? With me now is President of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America, Cecile Richards. Thanks so much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
First, at the federal level, did Planned Parenthood escape the recent budget bill unscathed?
We did. We got through Chapter 1 in the sense of, you know, this effort that had been made by particularly the House leadership to eliminate Planned Parenthood's ability to provide services through federal programs. And we had a vote in the Senate, and they rejected that by 58 to 42. So that was actually, that was a very, very important important victory for, frankly, women who depend on Planned Parenthood for health care.
Congress did, however, use its power over Washington, D.C. to prevent the city from using local municipal taxes to subsidize abortions for poor women. Does Planned Parenthood provide some of those abortions in D.C.?
Well, yes, we are an abortion provider in the District of Columbia, and, of course, we fought very hard to actually for that, and which was, you know, just it was only recently that the district has been able to use their own money in the way they see fit. So that was definitely something that we opposed, that decision by the House leadership to push through that restriction as well.
How, in a situation like that, would you compensate for the lost funds and still provide the service?
Well, I mean, it's very difficult because we're talking about women who really don't have equal health care options. And so Planned Parenthood is, you know, we receive public funding for preventive care, as you said earlier. We receive outside donations for women from women, many of whom were former patients who support our services. And then, of course, we have a, you know, sliding scale fee for service for women who are coming to us for services that aren't covered by other means.
And while federal Medicaid dollars may not be used for abortions for poor women, some states, including New York, use state or local tax dollars to fund them. Do you know how many states offer that?
Brian, I'm sorry, I don't know off the top of my head. It's not the majority, but you're right. Some states like New York do provide full reproductive health care through their own state funds.
And what's going on in state capitals? Have any states that went Republican last November actually reduced access to abortions, or is it only in the proposal phase?
Well, no, there's a lot of, I mean, there are a lot of bills, I think more than 900 bills that were filed during this legislative session, and a lot of them are right at the sort of inflection point here of decisions by their state legislatures. Unfortunately, of course, with the real sweep last November, these they're much more extreme legislatures in terms of being against women's health care access. You know, we are working in several states to try to ensure that women don't lose access to health care services, but there are many bad bills pending, and some have already been signed.
Some of the proposals I've read about at the state level require an ultrasound before an abortion, restrict insurance coverage, ban late-term abortions because of alleged fetal pain. Anything else?
Well, there is, of course, taking a page out of Mike Pence's book, you know, the congressman from Indiana who tried to eliminate Planned Parenthood at the federal level. We are facing in three states efforts where they're trying to ban Planned Parenthood from being a provider of preventive care in their state. So in North Carolina, my home state of Texas, and Indiana, legislators are pushing these measures. It's interesting to see, though, and I think we'll, you know, Indiana is a good, an interesting case in point where, of course, they stand to possibly, you know, it would be potentially both unconstitutional and they stand to lose possibly federal health care dollars by trying to target Planned Parenthood.
Cecile Richards, president of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America, my guest on WNYC. Do you find the legality of abortion a morally complex issue at all?
Well, I think, look, abortion is one of those issues that is, it's more morally complex for every individual. But I think at the end of the day, where the American people are on this and is that it's such a personal decision. And even in very conservative states, you know, in the state of South Dakota is a good example where there was an attempt to completely ban all abortions in the state of South Dakota. Even in a very conservative state like South Dakota, the voters rejected that kind of ballot initiative because they believed at the end of the day that these kinds of difficult decisions really are best made by women and their doctors and their family members. And I think that is where the American people are. It's interesting too, Brian, when you look at when we poll a lot of times American people and ask them, what are the issues you're most concerned about in this area of reproductive health care? Is it about the rates of abortion? And actually what we find consistently across the country, folks in this country are much more concerned about unintended pregnancy, about teen pregnancy, and they want to make sure that women have access to both information and affordable birth control that they believe will actually reduce unintended pregnancy and the need for abortion.
And why should Planned Parenthood get any tax dollars for that? Why is this a taxpayer responsibility in any case?
Well, you know, Planned Parenthood operates just like hospitals and everyone else. We get the federal funds that go to Planned Parenthood pay for specific services. So as you mentioned earlier, you know, we provide birth control to 2.5 million people each year. We do about 830,000 breast exams. Nearly a million pap smears or cervical cancer screenings, millions of STD testing and treatment. And primarily those are for clients who are at 150% of poverty level or below. So we offer services to very low income and working people without insurance, just like hospitals do. The federal government simply reimburses us for services delivered. And one of the things that really came up, I think, in this whole conversation in Congress is we actually are the most affordable provider of family planning in a lot of these services. And that's why in many states, we're the primary provider of family planning, is because we're able to see many, many more folks at an affordable price and provide very high quality. So it's really a question of whether we really believe folks in this country should have access to affordable and high-quality preventive care.
But it came up in the congressional debate. Mm-hmm. Can't women and girls get other reproductive health services from other places that aren't so politically charged because of your commitment to abortion services? You know, one famous line that I'm sure you heard from one of the congressmen was, you can get a pap smear at Walgreens, so you don't need tax dollars funding Planned Parenthood.
Well, that actually was one of the things I kept trying to figure out, Brian, actually, where they thought women were going to go. Because, of course, for Planned Parenthood, we have more than 800 health centers, and they are all across the United States. 72% of our centers are either in areas that are rural or where there are medically underserved communities. And so, of course, in a lot of these areas, there aren't other options for women. But when I heard that, in fact, some of the Republicans thought that women could get pap smears at Walgreens, I mean, I think, like, well, maybe that's where some of the confusion is we just, there's not a lot of information by some members of Congress about what women's health care is and how women get it.
And, of course, critics argue that money is fungible within an organization, just as liberals might argue that government funding to churches mm-hmm. for services other than religious ones, faith-based outreach or whatever, is kind of a sham. Critics of abortion will say the money to Planned Parenthood for services other than abortion is kind of a sham. Do they have a point?
Well, absolutely not. And, I mean, this is the restrictions around how federal funds can be utilized are very, you know, we are audited every single year. And so, you know, the funds that we get from the federal government are very specifically for cancer screening, they're for birth control, and they're for STD testing and treatment, some places for prenatal care. The real tragedy in this country to me is that federal funds for those services, again, for basic birth control and cancer screenings, they're so low that we actually, far from being fungible, we actually have to go raise private dollars to supplement the services to make sure that we can see every woman who needs services. This is the thing that's incredible. I think we have to remember, in the United States of America, so Planned Parenthood, we see 3 million patients every year. We're the largest family planning provider in the country. And yet, we have the highest unintended pregnancy rate in the U.S. of any Western country, because there are still millions more women who need affordable birth control that can't get it. So even with all the work that we're doing, we're not beginning to meet the demand of low and moderate income women for basic family planning and cancer screening.
Cecile Richards, president of the Planned Parenthood Federation. Do you ever think of pushing back legislatively against proposals like this requirement for a fetal ultrasound before someone gets an abortion, and proposing a requirement for a well-rounded information session, maybe for all pregnant women or all unwanted or teen pregnancies, whether they come seeking an abortion or not, like the risks to their health and their futures of carrying pregnancies to term, as well as the risks of abortion?
Well, you make such a good point, Brian. And if this was actually, if these kinds of proposals were actually based on what would be best for the health care of women and young people, as you say, we would be so thrilled, because, of course, that is what Planned Parenthood does, is we counsel women and young people about questions that, quite frankly, a lot of doctors won't talk to them about what do you do to plan a family? You know, when are you really ready to have a child? And, of course, that is the fundamental belief of Planned Parenthood. That's what we see 3 million patients for every year, is to say, how do we help you plan your family and get the information you need that's not biased, that's, you know, that gives you everything you need to make healthy decisions for you and your family. And if we could do more of that in this country and take the politics out of women's health care, we'd have a healthier country, we'd have healthier women and healthier families.
Well, I don't think the politics are going away anytime soon.
No, it doesn't seem to be.
But President of Planned Parenthood, Federation of America, Cecile Richards, thank you very much for coming on with us.
Brian, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Coming up next, we will find out just how little New Yorkers know about the U.S. Constitution. And if you are willing to take a four-question Constitution quiz with constitutional scholar Eric Lane, who did a survey on just how uninformed about the Constitution Americans are, call us up and see how many of these questions you can answer. Call right now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, and we'll talk about how pitifully little most New Yorkers know about the U.S. Constitution in a minute.